The book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter number 1. If you'd like to stand and stretch your legs, honor the reading of the Word of God, that's fine. If you're able and willing. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bare record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Sure is good to be washed, isn't it? To know that you've been born again, saved. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that's called Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, in which thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as it said, burned in a furnace. And his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand are the seven golden and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Brother Conrad, would you pray, ask God to bless? Amen. Yes, God, help us. Yes. Lord, help. Oh, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. There's four things that I want to mention tonight and just give you a few thoughts out of this chapter right here. There's certainly numerous messages could be brought from this chapter right here. But I want to point out a few things right here. The book of Revelation, not Revelations plural, but Revelation. It's about the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the glorified Christ that God has revealed to him right here, and he gave it to his servants and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. But tonight I want us to look at the book of the Revelation to the church, the blessings of the Revelation for the church, and the burden of the Revelation for the church, and the bidding of the Revelation for the church. We are the church of the living God, the born-again, blood-bought band of believers. God has something to say to you and I in this book right here. And the book of Revelation, it has visions, it has symbols, it has mysteries, it has messages, and there's so much in it. But I want you to notice tonight, and I want to get across to you tonight, that verse number 11 right here, it says that, write what thou seest in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. These seven churches were actual literal churches in the day that John was writing, but they also represent seven different church ages. And if you study and the Word of God, if you study men that's, a lot smarter than me that's written commentaries, you can see the steps down through the ages since the day of Christ, the different ages of the churches. And certainly we know and we've studied and it's been preached to us all that we're in the last of the seven church ages, the Laodicean church age. And Jesus is soon to appear according to the Word of God. But I want you to notice what he's saying to the church right here. It's to give us, the church of the living God. Now, persecution. John was being persecuted. He'd been exiled to the Isle of Patmos, he says right here, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The church has always come under fire and under persecution. In the days that we live in today, we're going to see it get worse and worse, I believe, in the day that we live. There was a time when I was a young boy that it seemed like everybody had a certain amount of respect for the church. Even I, when I was a lost man, there was something about a church that I feared. I had a reverence to it. But now, people don't mind throwing out their liquor bottles, their beer cans, and doing all kind of ungodly things at the house of God. They'll come out back and have done it numerous times, stealing gas. They stole the catalytic converter out from under the bus here about a month ago. They have no respect. But, we're going to see government, I believe, persecute the church, in these last days that we're living in. So what this message, what I want to get across to you tonight is you can have assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ that He's going to take care of you as a child of God. And He's going to see after His church. The Bible says He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. And we want to get across tonight that He has all the power and all the authority in this world today. And He's going to assure us that we're going to come out victorious in the end. Things may get tough and things may get rough. John right here, he was going through something that was terrible in his life. He'd been exiled as a prisoner on this old stony island right here. But he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and things will always go to picking up for you. If you'll come to the church with the right spirit and the right attitude, I guarantee you, you'll leave here different from when you come in. And so it's a good idea to come prayed up and ready to worship God when you come to the house of God, because, listen, there's something about being a child of God and being in the house of God that you can't get out yonder in the world. And God wants to bless His children. And so let's all just try our best when we come to the house of God, whether it be Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night, or even in revival nights, we ought to come prayed up and ready to get something from God. He wants to bless His children, and He wants to assure you that we've got victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He has power and authority over His church. He has power and authority over this world. He has power and authority over His enemies. The Bible says that Hey, every knee and every tongue, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess one of these days that He is Lord. He is just exactly who this Bible right here says He was. Even His enemies will fall to their knees one day. They'll confess, but it'll be too late for them. The devil's hell is awaiting all those Christ rejectors and God haters in this world, and there's plenty of them in the world today. Amen? So this message tonight, I want to challenge you. I want the Word of God to challenge me. I want the Word of God to challenge you, to challenge Liberty Baptist Church against compromise. We live in a day of compromise. We live in a day of counterfeits and everything ungodly that's going on underneath a steeple. Amen? And there's a lot of complacency in the church today. God doesn't like complacent Christians. He said in this church age of Laodicea right here, He said, "But if you are lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." And so it's a great warning to us about complacency, about lukewarmness and coldness and cowardice. You know, the army of God's got no place for cowards. Amen. We're to be bold in the face of opposition, and God has something for us to do. John on the Isle of Patmos, you would have thought he was done, he was through with, but it was on the Isle of Patmos when God came to John and gave him this great book in our Bibles today. Like I said a while ago now, there's many messages in the book of Revelation, and there's many mysteries. And I guarantee you in the book of Revelation, I got a lot more questions than I got answers. I told Brother Ken the other day, I was talking about, you know, I was going to try to preach some messages out of the book of Revelation. I said, when I get over in chapters number 6, on through about chapter number 18, the tribulation period and all the vials, the judgments, the different things that's going on, I said, my head goes to spinning. I don't know what's going on. But it's real. It's true. And it's coming to pass. And let me tell you the good thing about it, Brother Tim, I ain't going to be here to go through all that. I'm getting out of this old world one glorious day, and I'm here to tell you tonight that the Word of God teaches us that day is soon. It's coming real, real soon. Don't let it take you unawares, church. Don't let it take you by surprise. Be looking for Him. Be longing for Him. Be praying for His appearing. Let me tell you, this whole world, the Bible says, is going to get worse and worse and worse. But listen, child of God, look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Now, first of all, let's talk about this book of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice it, the very first verse right here, He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book's all about. Genesis was a book of beginnings. The Revelation is a book of the end. And all through this Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a message to mankind. All mankind needs to be saved, needs to be born again. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and God would not be willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But right here, God is revealing the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory to the church. The Lord Jesus had died. He went to a cross. He paid a ransom for all mankind. He ascended back into the heavens. But now God wants the church to know that His Son is alive. Hey, He come out of the grave victorious over death and hell, and He's alive today. Notice the revelation right here. It shows us the Lord Jesus Christ glorified. Notice the different titles throughout the book of Revelation. Let me read these for you that He's titled as, or He's called. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the first and the last, he that liveth, the Son of God, holy and true, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, a Lamb, faithful and true, the Word of God, King of kings and Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, the bright and morning star, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
many titles that's given to Him. But what God wants us to see tonight is He's not the meek and lowly one that walked this earth, took upon Himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, humbled Himself and went to a cross and died for you and I. No, 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 no. When John saw Him, when he saw Him in this vision in chapter number 1, the Bible says He fell on His face like a dead man. Well, when we see Him, it's going to be something. It's going to be something. Too often we visualize Christ as being on a cross or Christ being a man like me and you. But no, no, no. He's glorified today. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. And just like this book says right here, behold, He comes with clouds, every eye shall see Him. They also which pierced Him, all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Now, this appearing is not when He calls the church out of the world. This appearing right here is when He comes back to set everything straight, to put all these enemies down that you find over in chapter number 19. Well, listen to me. I'm glad to know that I'll be coming with Him. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm on His side tonight. Glad to be on the winning side. Oh, He's not the lamb, but He's the lion tonight. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the high and lofty one, Lord of lords and King of all kings. And He's a victory. He's a victorious one. If you read and study the book of Revelation, good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. Amen. He shows Jesus Christ glorified. But notice in verse number 1, He shows His servants some things. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants the things which must shortly come to pass. You know, our God doesn't want us in the dark. He doesn't want ignorant people. He wants us to be educated on the things to look for. You know, I believe if we realize, Brother Tim, that the Lord is soon to appear, if we believe that in our heart and realize that through the Word of God, I believe we'll be up and about our Father's business more than we've ever been. Amen. We ought to have burdens for lost people. Amen. All these little old kids that just went downstairs, it's my heart's desire and my prayer to see them walk the aisle one day and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. It ought to be that burden upon every one of our hearts. We've put 28 years of our lives into this ministry out here. We've seen a lot of people say, but I want to see more. And God, give us that burden. Help us, Lord. He said, I'm going to show you things which must shortly come to pass. Shortly. Shortly. It's an urgent message. Urgency. Urgency. And the things that He's going to show. But notice also it sounds an alarm in verse number 3. As He gets into this book right here, He says, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. We ought to realize that the Lord could come before we get home tonight. He could come before I get through this message. You know, we as humans, we as flesh, we want to put it off. We want to put it somewhere way out in the future. You know, I've studied this word right here. And I know and I realize that Jesus is soon to come. His appearing is nigh. The time is at hand. And it's time for the church to start acting like the church and be a church. Listen, the world has got so many people lured away with things. But He's telling us right here, He's got some things to say. Some things to show His church right here. We better wake up. Time is nigh. And He sounds an alarm right here in the book of the Revelation to His church. Secondly, I want you to notice the blessings of the Revelation right here to the church. Verse number 3. He says this, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Notice he says, blessed is he that readeth. You know, That's a promised blessing to you and I. I mean, we can get a blessing from God just by picking up this book right here and reading the book of Revelation. God wants us in the book. God wants to give us understanding. And God wants us to believe. He wants us to trust what He says. And He wants us to live what He says. Amen. And so, there's a blessing right here for those that read the book. I challenge you to read the book of Revelation. Get in it. Read it. You'll wind up just like me. They're going to be thinking your head will go to spinning when you get into some of it. But read it. It's a promised blessing. Not only the he that readeth, but he that heareth. Notice what he said. He that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You know, there's a blessing promised for you being here tonight. Hearing the preaching of the Word of God right here out of the book of Revelation. Now, the natural man can hear the Word of God, and he's not going to be able to discern it. But notice the seven messages to the seven churches. In the ending of each one of those messages, notice what Jesus says right here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know what that's telling me? As the natural man can't understand or receive the things of the Word of God because he's spiritually discerned. But if you've been born again, you've got a spiritual ear. A spiritual ear. And we can hear the Word of God. We can be blessed by the Word of God. And we can understand the Word of God. And we can heed the Word of God. And so I say tonight, get your spiritual ears tuned up. And listen to what God has to say. Ask God to speak to you. Ask God to reveal things to you. God wants to speak to us. Blessed is he that readeth and he and they that heareth. Not only heareth, but keepeth. Keepeth. Notice this now. In Revelation 22. Let me flip over there and read something for you right here. In Revelation 22. Verse number 7. He said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Or keepeth the sayings of the message of this book. God has a message for His church in the book of the Revelation right here. The Bible says, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. When I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Now, verse 10 says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. God is revealing to us His glorified Son. God is revealing to us His plan and His purpose for the closing days of this old world right here. And the church is a vital part of God's plan to get the message of salvation out to a lost and dying world. And so there's no place for complacency in the church. We ought to be on fire. We ought to realize that time is nigh. And we ought to be doing what we can for the honor and glory of God and for a lost and a dying people that's gonna go into a devil's hell one of these days if we don't reach them. When's the last time you had a real burden for somebody that's lost? When's the last time you really fell down with tears, a burdened heart, and cried out to God, Lord, save them. Don't let them die and go to hell. You know, I've got lost loved ones that I pray for. And, you know, I try my best to pray sometimes, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come get your church. And when I do, there's something in my spirit that's grieved for them that's lost, especially my lost loved ones. And I turn from praying that God would come and take His church out. I begin to pray in my spirit for them that's lost, that I love, and I don't want to see them die and go to hell. You ever tried to comprehend how long eternity is?
It's impossible for me to even comprehend it. But for a lost person to die, if they draw that last breath and they go into a devil's hell, they'll be there forever, 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 to a place that never ends and the fire never quenched. That ought to burden us. Somebody had a burden for me. Somebody, no doubt, had a burden for you. And we ought to have a burden for lost sinners. He that readeth, there's a blessing. He that heareth, there's a blessing for them. He that keepeth, we can be faithful. We can heed the message that God has given us. We can apply the messages if we'll open our spiritual ears and hear what God is saying to the church. And let me say, too, while I'm here talking about this book of Revelation, He warns us in Revelation 22. He gives all mankind a warning about adding to this book and taking away from this book. A warning. And so you can hear all kind of, you know, it's so important for us to read the book. You can find bookshelves full of commentaries and you'll get, you know, a different opinion out of every one of them. But the Bible stays the same. It'll never change. The Word of God will never change. And so I challenge you to read more out of your Bible and trust what God will reveal to you and say to you. Now the book, the blessings, but now the burden for the church. The burden for the church. Notice in verse number 4 what he says here. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. Now, if there's anything that the church needs today, it's grace. If there's anything that I need, it's grace. You know, I can watch 5 minutes of Fox News, and I need some grace. I'm ready to go get my gun. Amen. But we need grace about us. We need mercy. We need grace, and we certainly need peace. But notice where John says it comes from. From Him. From Him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Now, He wants to give His church peace in these days. These are challenging times. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Never. You know, when I was growing up as a child, Brother Dave, when we was growing up, Mom and Daddy may have had some worries. I don't know. I don't think they had anything like what's going on in this world today. And you know, I had peace as a kid. I mean, I didn't really worry about who's going to pay the light bill, who's going to put the food on the table, and, you know, stuff like that, where I was going to sleep at night. And God can give us that kind of peace as adults. Amen. He can. And He wants to. And so, the burden for the church right here, grace and peace, God wants to give it to us. You see, there's so many characteristics right here about the Christ, the glorified Christ, that He wants us to realize in this chapter right here. First of all, He's the resurrected one. Verse number 5 says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Christ is alive. I have no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He lives in my heart. He walks with me. He talks with me. He rebukes me. He corrects me. He instructs me. So many ways, child of God, that He's with you. And we need to realize He is the resurrected one. You know, there's so many in this world today that wants to put Him down, would have our children to be secular unbelievers. And that's the goal of this world. That's the goal, I believe, of our government today, is to take God out of society. Amen. Amen. Why would they take the Ten Commandments off the courthouse walls? Why would they stop prayer in school? Why would they stop Bible reading in school? You know, little by little by little, this world is rejecting Christ and rejecting Christianity and rejecting you and I. And yet at the same time, there's many schools that they've made a way for Muslims to do their little prayer thing. They fear them, but they don't fear God, the living God. That's the day that we live in. But He's a resurrected one. He's alive, He's glorified, and He's looking down upon this world right now. He's a reliable one. Verse 8 says this, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Notice this, the Almighty. There's nothing that God cannot accomplish if He wants to. In the book of Isaiah chapter 46, the Bible says that He's the one that knew the ending from the beginning. He's the one that gives us this book right here. He's showing us the ending right here and the things that's not taking place yet, but you can rest assured it's going to. And He says the time is at hand. It's going to shortly come to pass. He's a reliable one. He's a reigning one. Verse number 6 says that, hey, says He had made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Can I tell you, He rules and He reigns today as Lord of lords and King of kings. Hey, man didn't put Him in that position. God did. God has given Him a name that's above every name. That every tongue is going to confess and every knee is going to bow to Him one of these days. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings and He reigns on high. The resurrected one, the reliable one, the reigning one. He's the redeeming one. Verse number 5 says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I'm glad I've been redeemed tonight. I'm glad I've been forgiven of my sins, past, present, and future. It's good to be blood washed. It's good to be born again. It's good to be bought with a price. It's good to be not for sale. Amen. I'll never go back on the auction block of sin because, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ bought me. And He bought you, church. If you've been saved, He's redeemed you. You know what? You wasn't worth what He paid. You hear me? I wasn't worth what He paid for me, for sure. But He took me anyway. He paid the price that I owed. Not only the resurrected one, the reliable one, the reigning one, the redeeming one, but He's the returning one. He says twice right here. In this chapter number 1, He says, which is to come. Which is to come. You know, He's sounding an alarm, church. He's coming. Over in Revelation chapter number 22, three times, I come quickly. I come quickly. I come quickly. Be ready. Be watching. He's going to take this world by surprise one of these days. And you know what? He's going to take the church by surprise. He's going to take the ones that He owns. Because we've been carried away in this Laodicean church age into lukewarmness, coldness, complacency. Got our eyes and minds on the things of this world. Most of the church has got to a place to where the church is a burden to them. Amen. It's an interference with all the pleasures of this old world. Amen. Amen. Oh me. Oh me. He's coming anyway, though. Whether you're ready or whether you're not ready, He's coming again. The book, the blessings, the burden. Christ has a burden for His church. He wants to give His church grace in these days of persecution and troubles and hardships, disappointments, disasters. Hey, the chaos that's going on in this old world. He can give you peace through it all. Peace and grace. But lastly this, the bidding for the church. Notice this right here, let's look back at verse number 11. He says, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And like I said a while ago now, these seven churches represent seven church ages also. They were seven literal churches in Asia. But they also represent seven different church ages, and we're in that last Laodicean church age. And he says, deliver it to the churches. And God has delivered this book just as fresh to you and I today, as fresh as it was when John wrote it down. Way, way, way back. It's fresh. And today I think it's a charge to us. He gives us orders in this book right here. As he has delivered this to the seven churches and seven church ages, it's a charge. He gives us orders. He gives us instructions right here. We're to teach. We're to preach. We're to evangelize. We're to warn lost people what's coming in this old world right here. Things are not going to continue as they are. Amen. We're to warn. We're to evangelize. We're to walk in the light of the word of this book right here. Walk circumspectly. Walk in love. He tells us in the book of Ephesians how we're to walk, how we're to live our lives and be a light, and to worship. Worship God. Give Him thanksgiving. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. If you read when you get into chapter 6 through 18 and begin to read about the wrath of God when it's poured out upon this whole world, it ought to make you want to worship the Lamb of God who took you in and saved you from the wrath to come. Amen. I'm glad to be saved tonight. Ain't you? I didn't even give this lesson a title. I guess if I was going to put a title on it, I'd say the time is at hand. Time for the church. I know it's hard in this Laodicean church age, but be careful. Don't line up. Don't let the spirit of Laodicea take you down the wrong word. Or down the wrong paths. Amen? We can do better, can't we? Amen. Thank you for being here tonight.